بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Brothers and sisters, I was requested to speak about حقوق الزوجين, the rights of husband and wife, the rights that the husband have over the wife and the rights that the wife have over the husband. And before I go into that, there's a very important usul, there's a very important principle, there's a very important muqaddama and introduction that we have to understand, which directly correlates with this subject. And that is, what in reality is our deen? If we understand what our deen and our religion and our tradition and our way of life demands from us, then automatically we will know what is the rights of the husband over the wife and what is the rights of the wife over the husband. When you know what is deen, the musibat that we are living in today, the musibat that surrounds us, the calamity and the trials and tribulations that surround us, is all of these problems that we see, husband and wife, divorce rate, increase of issues and problems and marital affairs and marital disagreements. What is the root cause of that? The actual root cause of that is ignorance of deen. The actual root cause of that is not knowing the haqq of Allah Azza wa Jal. What is the true haqq of Allah Ta'ala? And what is our deen? When a person doesn't know his deen, then he is going to be more ghafil of other things in this world. And it starts with ghaflat in our deen. So, one of the ulama mentioned that we in actuality, we have forgotten that our deen is much more than 5 daily prayers and going for hajj and giving zakat and fasting in the month of Ramadan. Maulana Shaykh Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi mentions, he says that there are 5 shu'bas of deen. There are 5 departments of deen. We only understand deen to be one department, and that is ibadat. I pray 5 times a day, I'm a very good Muslim. I went for hajj, haji sahab, I'm a very good Muslim. Al-hajj, right? Al-hajj. And I, you know, give zakat, I'm a very generous person. And I pray 5 times namaz, I'm a very good namazi. And I have haqq over everyone else, and I could do fraud to whoever I want, and I could cheat whoever I want, and I could lie to whoever I want, and I could do business the way I want, and I could be involved in interest, and I could go against the sunnah, and I could do whatever I want because I'm a 5 times namazi. Therefore, I have haqq to do everything. This is a complete incorrect understanding, and this is the biggest misconception that has brought us to the musibat and the calamity that this ummah is in at this point in time. That we have not understood what is our deen. Our deen is 5 shobas. And I want everybody to note this down. If you're not going to note it down by pen, note it down, mental note of it. And understand that this is our deen. How much of this deen do we have in our life? Then we can, after this introduction and after this muqaddama, then we can go into huquq al-zawjain. But I think if a person just understands this muqaddama, this introduction, this prelude, then everything else comes easy. Shoba number 1, and this is mentioned in Ta'lim al-Din of Hakim al-Ummat, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. He mentions this. He says, shoba number 1, aqaid, beliefs, your tenets of faith. That to be a Muslim, you don't have a right to believe whatever you want to believe in. I call myself a Muslim, but I believe that Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he is also a prophet. But I pray 5 times namaz, so I can do whatever I want to do. Because I pray 5 times namaz and I'm facing Qibla. Therefore, I could believe whatever I want to believe in. No, you don't have a right to believe whatever you want to believe in. The last and final prophet that came is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the last and final Nabi. This is our aqidah. This is from our aqaid. Now a person says that, alhamdulillah, I pray 5 times namaz. I go for hajj. Why don't you accept me as a Muslim? How can I accept you as a Muslim when your aqidah is not right? So aqaid is the foundation. Correct aqidah is the foundation of a Muslim. This is the backbone of our iman. Just because a person prays namaz, now he can believe in whatever he wants to believe in. He can believe that any person that comes, he's a Nabi. Or a person says that I'm a Muslim, but he is asking his hajat and he's asking his need from the grave. He doesn't even know who is Razzaq. He doesn't even know who is Khaliq. He doesn't even know who is Malik. He doesn't even know who is the creator and the giver of all things. He doesn't know who is Al-Wahhab, the giver and the bestower. Oh, tu dete, ya data, tu dedo, tu de sakte. You can give, and he's asking from the grave, a Muslim. Subhanallah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came and his blood flowed out of his body for tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we are going back to those things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam fought for, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made mujahada for, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam bled for. We're going back to that same jahiliyat. No, the oneness of Allah ta'ala, that there is only one Khaliq, only one Malik, only one Razib, only one Wahhab, the one that can give. No one else can give. So aqaid is very important for every Muslim to rectify his aqidah, that there should be no shirk in his aqidah, that we should not believe, Peer sahab sunte hain, humre tang tod denge if we say anything about him. Peer sahab, subhanallah. Peer sahab sunte hain, kahan sunte hain? Allah Ta'ala's name is As-Sami' Sunne Wala. Yani that Allah that hears everywhere. Now when we give one of the sifat of Allah, As-Sama', this is the quality of Allah Ta'ala's hearing. That Allah is all hearing. Now when we give this quality to a makhluk other than the Zat of Allah Ta'ala, then what are we doing? We are doing shirk fi sifat. There's two types of shirk. Shirk fi zat, that you say that there's another God besides Allah. Alhamdulillah, no Muslim does this. No Muslim says there's two gods. No Muslim says there's three gods. But there's another shirk which is dangerous also. Shirk fi sifat. To say that someone has shirkat with Allah Ta'ala's sifat, who has a partner in Allah Ta'ala's qualities, like Allah is all hearing. And to say, my peer sahab who is in Karachi right now, I have a peer sahab in Karachi, Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar sahab. But if I say that my peer sahab is sitting in Karachi, wo sunte hain, tang tod denge. Agar main bayat tod dun to tang tod denge. Some people think like this. This is unacceptable. It's not jayaz to think like this. This is shirk fi sifat. Shirk in the sifat of Allah Ta'ala. Because only Allah Ta'ala is As-Sami', the all-hearing. Al-Basir, the all-seeing. Now when we are going to say that any human being or any makhluk has any and shares any of these qualities with Allah Azza wa Jal, this aqidah is unacceptable. This is falsehood. And this is very dangerous. So the first and foremost shawbah of deen is aqaid. That a person, just because he's praying 5 times a namaz a day, it does not allow him to have the same beliefs as the Hindus. To have the same beliefs as the Christians. To have the same beliefs as other people. And a lot of times we're sharing same thing. And I want to mention this because this is part of our aqaid, and it's very important to preserve our aqaid. 1400 years of legacy of ulama, what did they do? They preserved our deen for us, so that our deen did not become like Christianity. So that our deen did not become like Judaism. So that our deen did not become like Buddhism. The ulama preserved our deen, and it is spark now from everything. Our deen is the same deen that existed 1400 years ago. Safely we can say that. Why? Because the ulama did not allow any of the shirk and bid'ah to come inside of our deen. The ulama preserved it. The sahaba radiallahu anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu, the first one. Then sahaba, then tabi'een, then taba tabi'een. They gave their life to not let any particle of ghayb, any particle of outside come inside of our deen. That's why some people say, yaar, maine to koi chori to nahi ki. Some people, they do certain things, they say, maine chori to nahi ki. But brothers, this is worse than chori. Bidat indeed. Adding something to the deen of Allah is worse than... He said, I didn't commit any theft. I didn't kill someone. I didn't commit zina. I didn't commit murder. You did something worse than that. What is that? adding to the deen of Allah that which is not supposed to be added. Did Allah Ta'ala not say in the Quran, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena? This day I have perfected your religion and I have completed my favor on you and I have chosen Islam as your religion. What is Allah telling us? You don't need to add anything because I've already perfected your deen. I've already completed your deen. Now anything else that you are going to add to this is not going to be acceptable. One Hindu pandit in India, he accepted Islam. MashaAllah. After accepting Islam, he became Hafiz of Quran. After becoming Hafiz of Quran, he did the 8 years Dars-e-Nizami Alim course and became a Maulana, Alim, Shaykh. Imagine, Hindu pandit. And he said in a statement, he said, Yaar, you know, you people do, you Muslims, I noticed that you do Tija, Satwa, Chaliswa, Salana, at the death of somebody. Tija, after the third day, they have a big ceremony, Khatm Quran, then they bring Maulvi Sahib and he reads something on the Tabarruk, on the food and on the yellow rice, and then they pass out all the yellow rice, whatever. In Afghanistan, we also have this. In Pakistan, in India, and Bangladesh, we have. But I want you to listen to what this Hindu pundit is saying. Previously Hindu pundit. After that he accepted Islam. So he says, I noticed something that Muslims do. And he said they do Tija, they do Satwa, they do Chaliswa, and then they do Salana for the Mayyit. That when a person dies, after the third day they have a ceremony, then after the seventh day they had a ceremony, and after the 40th day the family gets together. And if you don't do this for the fam, if you don't do this for the deceased person, they said, Mayyit ko be'izzati ki. Mayyit ki be'izzati. You did be'izzati, you did disrespect for the Mayyit. This Hindu, previous Hindu pundit said, he said, Wallahi, I studied Islam, and wallahi, I was a sheikh in Hindu, and I was a sheikh, I'm a sheikh now in Islam. And wallahi, I did not see this in any of the books of Islam, but I saw it in Hinduism. In Hinduism, we do Tija, then we do Satwa, then we do Chaliswa. When a person passes away, it is our belief that they believe in incarnation. They believe in karma. Karma means that when a person dies, then they burn the deceased. But the soul comes out and the soul is looking for an appropriate body or an appropriate entity to go and become incarnate inside of that body. This is the belief of Hindu. They want to go inside of that body so that if they are good, they go inside of, like, they become a tree. Or if they're good, they become like a river. Or if they're good, they become like another pious person or something. This is their aqidah. So he said, we believe that when the mayyit dies and we burn the body, the ruh is free. And after 3 days, the ruh, the soul, returns back home. And if you didn't cook any proper food for the mayyit, he's very, very hungry after 3 days. Bahut bhooke hai bichara. He's really, really hungry. So he comes back after 3 days, and if you don't have any cooked food for him, mitai, chitai, you know, khatai and all the good stuff is not there, then he gets very angry. After 7 days, he's going to come back again. And again, there has to be food there. Water and food and chai and mitai and all. And they do that. The Hindus, they do that. And unfortunately, our Muslims are also doing this. He comes back and he sees that there's nothing. He will go again disappointed. And after 40 days, and listen to this one. This is khatarnak. This one is dangerous. After 40 days, if you don't cook some food for the mayyit, then that mayyit is going to become an evil demon. Aruhi khabisa. And is going to haunt the house. Now you know where these haunted houses come from? See, this is it. They said now that ruh is going to haunt the house because you didn't cook food for him. You didn't do Tija and Satwa and Chaliswa. Now he's going to do this. Muslims, alhamdulillah, we don't have to that extent. But now we know where does this come from. Because this is not in the sunnah. This, first of all, it's not in the Quran. It's not in the sunnah. It's not in the tabi'een or taba tabi'een or those that came after salaf salihin. So where did it come from? This Hindu pundit explained to us. I'll tell you where it came from. So aqaid, if it wasn't for these ulama to preserve our deen from these outside sources, then our religion today would become something of Hinduism. Look at Christianity. Just look at Christianity.
where is Christmas? Where is Isa alayhi salam and where is Christmas? You tell me, where did Christmas come from? Look at Isa alayhi salam and then look at Christmas. Where did Christmas come from? Look at Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, and look at Easter. Where did the Easter bunny come from? Can you guys imagine this? It came from these innovations. Where it started something, yaar maine chori to nahi ki. That's where it started from. I didn't commit theft. I didn't commit murder. You didn't commit theft or murder, but you did something which was worse than that. Adding to the deen that now the religion has become something that it doesn't have any shape or form of the original religion that Isa alayhi salam came with. Even Christians attest to this fact. Now, in this day and age, Christians attest to this fact and they say it openly. This Bible is not the same Bible of the time of Jesus. And they make fakhr of this. Like this, koi fakhr ki baat hai. Koi fakhr ki baat hai. Sharam ki baat hai. That this religion is not the same religion of Jesus Christ. Time changes. Time changes, so religion changes. So that's therefore Easter Bunny and Christmas and Santa Claus. And where is Santa Claus? Where is Isa alayhi salam? You imagine Isa alayhi salam wearing a red jubba with a, you know, a hat, and now he's falling reindeer singing jingle bells. Can you imagine Isa alayhi salam? Subhanallah, Isa alayhi salam was a zahid, abid, nabi, rasul. Allahu Akbar, the maqam of Isa alayhi salam. Wa ayyadnaka bi ruh al qudus. Allah said, we assisted you with the Holy Spirit. Jibreel alayhi salam used to descend upon this nabi. And what they made this nabi? The religion of a bunny and the religion of a fat man going and throwing stuff inside of your chimney. And it's very hilarious, but it's more, we should cry over the fact that Muslims slowly are going to that direction. Slowly. And for a person to say, we should stay on the sunnah of our Nabi, we should stay on the, oh, deen changes. No, deen doesn't change. Deen does not change. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that for 1400 years, this is the miracle. This is the karamat. This is the mu'jiz of our deen, that we can proudly say, this religion of Islam is the same religion that was revealed to Muhammad 1400 years ago. Easily we can say that. With proof we can say that. Every hadith that we narrate, we can say, this is the sanad that goes back to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This person narrated from this person, who narrated from this person, who narrated from this person, who narrated from Abu Huraira, who narrated from Rasulullah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this is our deen. Pure and pristine, pak saf. But now we think that adding to the deen, and this is where we have to be very careful, that aqaid is part of our deen. This is shoba number one. I don't want, this was not hukuku zawjain is the topic. I don't want to go too far off. But for us to understand and get the whole picture now. Number one, shoba number one, aqaid, imaniyat, that no addition, no subtraction, and believing just as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam believed. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Look at what Allah Ta'ala says. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه. The messenger believes and has conviction in what Allah has revealed to him. The messenger believes in what Allah revealed in this Quran, and he will not change it. Wal mu'minun, and the believers also believe in that. The believers, their aqidah is this Quran. Our aqidah is not taken from any peer or faqir. We don't need to take our aqidah from any peer, faqir, sheikh, nobody. Our aqidah is the Quran. Maulana Abu Hassan al-Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi said, anyone who reads the Quran can never become a mushrik. The one who reads the Quran properly, he can never be a person who ascribes partners to Allah. The one who reads the Quran can never go off of the path of Allah Ta'ala. He will always be guided. So we need to hold on to this Quran. So the first and foremost shoba and department of our deen is aqaid. Second one is ibadat. First one is aqaid. Second one is ibadat. What is the ibadat? It is our salat, and our sawm, and our zakat, and our hajj, and all of our ibadat. Alhamdulillah, the Muslim ummah knows this very well. Everybody knows about five times namaz. Everybody knows about hajj and zakat. This is the second shoba. And as you can see, this is only one shoba from all of the shobas of deen.
This is only one department. But Muslims have held on to this one department and said, this is all that I need to do. Aqidah, I don't need to worry about it. All the other shobas that I'm about to mention, I don't need to worry about it. Our religion, brothers and sisters, is not a religion of just rituals. That I have this ritual, I pray this namaz, and I give my zakat, and I do my hajj, and I'm a very good Muslim. No, listen to these shobas. That our deen was sent as a complete deen. Aqaid is the first one, which is the backbone, your beliefs. Secondly is your ibadat. After that, after ibadat comes mu'amalat. After ibadat comes mu'amalat. And after mu'amalat comes mu'asharat. And after mu'asharat comes akhlaqiyat. Five shobas. Aqaid, beliefs. Ibadat, right? Our worship. Or Hazrat Tamir Ramtullah said, imaniyat. Aqaid or imaniyat. And then after imaniyat, ibadat, worship. And after ibadat, mu'amalat, lane day. Buying and selling. Commerce and trade. Wallahi, and I say this with great sadness in my heart, that there has been people that told me, they said, Maulana Saab, I want to tell you this, but I say this with great pain in my heart. But I have to tell someone. I have to get this bojh off my heart. I said, what is it? He said, Maulana, I will never ever do business with a Muslim. I will do business with a Jew. I will do business with a Christian. I will do business with a Hindu. But I'll never do business with a Muslim. I said, astaghfirullah, what are you saying? Watch what you're saying. He says, no, I know exactly what I'm saying. I said, how can you say such a thing? He said, I am saying it. I said, what do you mean? He said, because that Muslim, he will cheat me with inshallah and mashallah. These are his two favorite words. With these two words, brother, you owe me money, inshallah. Brother, you don't you remember that? Remember the money that you owe me? What about that $1,000? MashaAllah, brother. Inshallah, mashaAllah. With inshallah, mashaAllah, with the name of Allah, he's cheating. With the name of Allah, he's not paying the money back. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he refused to pray the salatul janazah of the person who died with deen. He refused. He said, this person owes me money. Someone came. His janazah was laying there. Imagine this. Imagine this halat that a person is in. Imagine this halat. The janazah is put. Nabi Sallallahu is about to say takbir on this mayyit. One person came, Ya Rasulullah, this person owed me money. He said, I will not pray the janazah of this person until this person's haq is given. Imagine a Nabi, a prophet of Allah, is not praying the janazah of who? Of a sahabi. Sahabi. Not normal person. Sahabi. The one who has seen and has suhbat of the Prophet and seen. His eyes had the good fortune of falling upon the Messenger. But Nabi Kareem said, that did not save him. Nabi Kareem said, I am not going to pray his janazah. One sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, let me pay. I will pay on his behalf. Please don't make him mahroom. He says, okay. Then you deal with him on his behalf. Give his debt. Pay off his debt. But I as a Nabi will not pray on the person who does not fulfill the haq of the other believers. حقوق العباد. One is حقوق الله, the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. But there is a major deficiency in our ummah today, and that is حقوق العباد, the rights of the slaves. The rights of the slaves. There was one Jew, and he was reading the Tawrat, and in the Tawrat he seen all of the qualities of the Prophet in his Tawrat clear as day. But there was one quality that he did not see in the Prophet. Because Medina Munawwara was actually a center of the Jews in Arabia. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi came to Medina Munawwara, many of the Jews recognized him from the signs that are mentioned in the Tawrat, to such an extent that Allah says in the Quran, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَ. They recognize the Messenger just as they recognize their own children. To such an extent, the details are mentioned in the Torah. He was this type of Nabi, and he looked like this, and he had the seal of prophethood. And this Yahudi, this Jewish man, he's seen all and read all of the qualities of the Prophet in the Torah except one. And what was that? That the more you push him, and the more you provoke him, and the more you incite him to become angry, the more he becomes forbearant, and the more he becomes patient, and the more he becomes merciful. And where do you see this in a person? In lane dain, mu'amalat.
So he said, I'm going to test him now. I've seen all of the signs except one. I'm going to test him.
So he had given the Prophet some money a while back. So he owed the Prophet. The Prophet owed him. Because the Jews were wealthy people in Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ had owed him money. It was like 100 dirhams or something, 100 dinars or dirhams.
So one day before the due date,
the due date was at the beginning of the month. He came on the 29th or on the 30th. Oh, Muhammad, open the door. Nabi ﷺ opened the door. He said, what happened? He said, where's my money? I want my money. He said, if you don't mind, we had promised on the first, we still have 2 days till I owe you the money. See, this is exactly what I'm saying. This is how you people are. You don't pay the money. When I come, this is my haq. You're not giving. And he started trying to provoke Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, looking for an argument and inciting the Prophet. This is what, you're not giving my money. This is my haq. And Umar ibn Khattab is hearing this. Farooq Azam. Now he comes and he says, oh, enemy of Allah. This is the Prophet of Allah. How are you speaking to him? If you do not stop from this, then I'm going to teach you one lesson. You will not forget that. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh, Umar, we did not... Look at Subhanallah. Rahmatul Alameen. Mercy of the world. He said, oh, Umar, we did not need you to meddle in our dealing. I was making muamala with him. This is a business between me and this gentleman here. Why are you coming and you're making mudakhala? Why are you becoming a dakhil? Why are you intruding? This is none of your business. Is this your business? Umar al-Khattab, he said, if you want to help us, and if you want to be and come inside and not mind your own business, then pay this man's debt that he's asking for right now. He said, but he's coming before the time. Doesn't matter. This is his haq. Look at what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. He said, it doesn't matter. This is his haq and he wants it now. What am I supposed to do? So the person went, so Hazrat Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, I will give. He said, give him and add this much saw on top of that. Give him this much more kilos of dates. On top of that, because of the taklif that you caused him. You're causing him taklif. You're threatening him. Because of the threatening that you did to him, give him his money and add a couple of kilos of dates on top of that. So Umar ibn Khattab he's astonished, but sami'na wa ata'na. He heard and he obeyed. He's not going to argue with the Prophet. So Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab went. He took the money and he brought the extra kilos of dates as a bonus. And when the Yahudi man took it, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. I bear witness that there's no one worthy of worship but Allah, and truly you are the messenger. He says, what? I don't understand. What is this? He said, O Rasulullah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw all of your sifat and all of your qualities and characteristics in the Torah. But there was one quality that was missing. And that was that as much as you are incited and as much as you are provoked, you become more patient and you fulfill the rights. Wallahi, this is haq. And truly you are a prophet. Brothers and sisters, we claim to be followers and ummatis of that Nabi. Where is our following of him? Then in muamilat, that we forget the deen. We forget it conveniently. We make ourselves forget the money that we owe to people. This was such a Nabi that he had so much consideration of the rights of the slaves that he would not perform the janazah of someone. This is how much consideration he had, that he would not perform the janazah of one who did not fulfill the right of his brother. He became angry at those people that would not pay and understand the huquq of others. And how do we say we are that ummati? Brothers and sisters, in this day and age, people will not see you in the masjid. As Muslims living in America, you have a duty to be the cleanest as possible in your muamalat and in your dealings. Why? Because the Jews and Christians and our neighbors and the non-Muslim folk that live in this country and the native people who live in this country, they don't see our ibadah. They don't see our 5 daily prayers. Illa mashallah. But generally, what do they see? They see our muamalat. They see our dealings. And if our dealings are going to be lousy, they're going to say, these are lousy people. These are lousy people. A very close student of mine, he buys cars and he sells them. So one person came and I told them to be very careful in your muamalat. Otherwise your namaz, your roza, what type of Muslim are you?
Your namaz, roza, that doesn't show who you are. Your mu'amalat shows what maqam you have. Because we're the ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was sent with akhlaq. He was sent a fulfillment of huquq, huququllah and huququl ibad. So remember this. So, there was one person buying the car and he's telling that person, the car has this deficiency and there was an accident here and there was an accident there and the last week the tire thing and I changed it. And he's telling him all of these things. He said, wait a minute. Why are you telling me all this? The guy is asking him, why are you telling me all this? You're selling me the car, but I don't understand. Why do you need to tell me all this? He said, look, if I don't tell you this, he said, all that money that I get, all that money is dead money. He said this in his own apni zaban mein keh diya, mashallah. He's a young man, 23 years old, a student of mine. He said, if I sell this car to you by lying to you, the money that I get for you is dead money, dead. There's no blessing in that. Man, he said, I never heard that before. But what religion are you? Listen to what he said. He said, what religion are you? He said, alhamdulillah, I'm Muslim. He said, that is something to look into. I'll never forget this in my entire life. I never heard something like that before. Islam, huh? So you're a Muslim. This is da'wah. When we talk about da'wah, this is the major portion of da'wah is in your mu'amalat. In your mu'amalat. How much are we careful in our mu'amalat? We have not, and why we're not careful in mu'amalat? Because we have not considered it part of our deen. Humne usko deen nahin samjhe. We have not considered mu'amalat to be part of our deen. As soon as we consider this to be part of our deen, we're going to start taking it seriously. Namaz, we consider it part of our deen. We don't miss our namaz. Roza, fasting of the month of Ramadan, we consider it part of deen. We're not missing it. If we consider mu'amalat to be part of deen, we will not be missing out on our mu'amalat. Mu'amalat is part of deen. Today, that one of the highest population of Muslim in the world, where is it? Indonesia, Malaysia. One of the highest populations of high concentration of Muslim in one area is Indonesia. How did they become Muslim? Does anybody know? Through the traders. The Arab traders that were coming from Yemen and the Arab traders that were coming from Bahrain through that sea, the Arabian Sea, they would pass and they would just do mu'amalat. And they were so fair. And they were so truthful. And they're so amanadar. That these people, they were compelled to accept Islam. He said, these are the people. And that is why Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned in one hadith, At-tajiru as-saduqul amin ma'an nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada. That the truthful, tajir, the truthful businessman, the one who does not lie, he does not cheat, and he knows his risk is from Allah. His risk is not from this ganda mu'amalat. It's from Allah. If Allah wants, then in the smallest thing Allah will put barakah. Baqiyatullahi khayr. Shuaib alayhi salam told his people, why do people cheat? The little money that's left over from your truthfulness is better for you than a lot of money that you make from interest and from lying and cheating. So, these people accepted Islam in this way. At-tajir as-saduqul amin. The truthful and the trustworthy businessman. Ma'an nabiyyina was-siddiqina was-shuhada. On the day of judgment, they will be with the prophets. And they will be with the siddiqs. The great Allah walis, the awliya of Allah, the siddiq. And with the shuhada. Why will they be with them? Because they shared in the same qualities of amanat and sidq. Nabi also has amanat and sidq in what he does. Siddiq also has amanat and sidq. And the shuhada, they also had amanat and sidq. Only then was it that they martyred themselves and they gave themselves for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So, we understand that if this wasn't something of a great status, the Prophet ﷺ would have never said, ma'an nabiyyina was-siddiqina was-shuhada. Who gets this? The person who's doing business, but he's truthful in his business. He's doing business, but he's trustworthy in his business. So this is mu'amalat. The third shoba, mu'asharat, no, fourth. Imaniyat, ibadat, mu'amalat, mu'asharat. Mu'asharat, our dealings. Huquq al-zawjain, huquq al-walidain, huquq al-aqriba, wa'ati dhal-qurba haqqahu wal-miskina wa'bna sabeel. that give your relatives their right. Give the miskeen their right. They have a right. Give the traveler his right. Give the people, the orphan, his right. So these are the mu'asharat that Allah teaches us. What is our social conduct? What is our business conduct and our laying deen and our commerce and our taking and lending? And one is our social conduct. How do we deal with people? How am I supposed to deal with my mother and father? Islam has told us that. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Do not even say uff to your parents. And do not rebuke them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And say a kind word to them. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower yourself. Lower the wing of mercy for your parents. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And say, oh Allah, have mercy on them, just as they had mercy upon me when I was weak and I was young. Allah is teaching us mu'asharat. And how we deal with our children. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourself and your family from the hellfire. Don't just be worried about yourself. This mu'asharat. وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. Allah is mentioning in the Quran, and give your relatives their haqq. Don't turn your back to them. Don't say, wallahi, I'm never going to speak to you again. Yeah, this is common speech nowadays. Wallahi, I'm not going to speak to you again. Why? Over some dunyai matter. Over a couple of pennies. Over a couple of dollars. Over some zameen. Over some earth. That when you go inside of the earth, no more earth. You love so much earth, but you're going to go, you have, right, 6 feet under. This much piece of land, that's all we're going to own. However much zameen you have, however much house you have, however bigger mansion you have, akhir, in the end, you're going to have the space of a grave. How much have we prepared for that? Over this land, that final destination is in the grave. We cause fights, we don't speak to our brother, we cut ourselves off from our family members and our relatives. No, that relative, give them their haqq. Allah has mentioned about this mu'asharat. And so this is mu'asharat. And inshallah we're going to come now with that mu'asharat, is mu'asharatu zawjain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, making the men khitab. First I will start with the haqq that the wife has over the man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Allah is making wasiyat. And Allah is telling us and commanding us, deal with them. Ashiruhunna. Conduct yourself with them bil ma'roof, with kindness, with affection, with love. Har minute pitai, bas. Some people, the relationship between husband and wife is pitai. Beating them up. Chappal. And stick. And danda. That is the relationship between husband and wife. Subhanallah. Allah says, bil ma'roof. This is ma'roof. This is not called ma'roof. What is the meaning of ma'roof? Ma'roof is something pleasing, acceptable, right? Acceptable, pleasing, right? Character, compassion. This is ma'ruf. Ma'ruf is such a word, yani yajma'u, and it combines and is comprehensive of all khayr. Ma'ruf in the Arabic language, it cannot even be translated. Ma'ruf means, and then the Prophet ﷺ also said, kullu ma'rufin sadaqa. Every ma'ruf, every good deed that you do, every khair that you do, this is sadaqah. Money is not only sadaqah. Even the morsel, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ said, even the morsel that you put in the mouth of your wife, this is sadaqah. You're getting sadaqah when you do this. Even the morsel out of muhabbat that you're putting in the mouth of your wife, this is sadaqah. So this is mu'asharat. Nabi Kareem ﷺ. So we understand now, we need to get a more wider vision of our deen. Our vision of deen is very narrow. This is deen. I have done this, I have completed all my responsibility. Right? I have gone for 40 days, I have fulfilled all of my responsibility. That's it. I pray 5 times namaz, I fulfilled all of my responsibility. I studied 7 years in madrasa, I fulfilled my responsibility of deen. Right? And I did this and I did that, and we have our own understanding, but we must all understand that deen is all of these four shobas, including the fifth one, which is akhlaqiyat, akhlaq, zuhud, taqwa, fear of Allah, love of Allah,
being pleased with the decree of Allah. Ya Allah, why did you do this to me? Ya Allah, why did you do this? No. Having the akhlaq and the character and the sifat to bring in your heart to be pleased with Allah's decree. Sabr, tawakkul, patience, reliance upon Allah, love of Allah, disinclination towards dunya. These are the andaruni sifat, the inside qualities. All of these five departments, imaniyat, ibadat, muasharat, muamalat, and akhlaqiyat, these are the five shobas of deen. This is our deen. And this is, from now we can understand that our deen is a way of life. It is not some just some ideology. Islam is not a, it's not a, Islam is not an ism, communism, Buddhism, you know, Judaism. It's not an ism, it's not an ideology, it is a way of life. And it encompasses all of these shobas. So now that we understand, nobody can say that marriage and the rights of the spouse is not included in deen. Nobody can say that now. I have given sufficient proof that this is all the shobas and departments of deen. Now we understand that marriage is also a department of deen. Sirf shahwat ke liye nahi hai. Fulfillment of shahwat, fulfillment of desires. No. Subhanallah, very beautiful thing. And for us to understand, what is the status of marriage in Islam? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the khutbah of nikah. In the khutbah where he would give the nikah. Everybody knows there's a khutbah. Imam sahab, Maulvi sahab, Sheikh sahab, whoever is going to give the... He reads three verses of Quran. Usually we don't think about what are those verses that he reads. Those were the same verses that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would read in the khutbah of nikah. And the same three verses that would be read in the khutbah of, in a sermon of the marriage, those are the three same verses that the Prophet would read on the minbar on the day of Jummah. And those are the three same verses that would be read in any of the lectures of the Prophet that he would give. And those three verses are number one, Ya ayyuha an-nasu ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisaa wa ittaqu allaha alladhi tasaaluna bihi wal arham inna allaha kana alaykum raqiba. That all you who believe, fear Allah who created you from one nafs. And then from that nafs he created the partner, Adam and Hawa, our mother and father. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا. And from that Adam and Hawa, then Allah spread throughout the earth all the men and all of the women. That's the first verse. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Fear your Lord. And then the second verse. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. All you believe, fear Allah as He is rightful to be feared. Second verse. Third verse. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah and say a straight word. Say an upright word. Don't say crooked word. Don't say wicked words. All three of these verses have one theme, have one concept in common. What is that? Taqwa. This is one concept. And in the topic that Mufti Naif, he sent me, he said, the way to a successful marriage. So if I want to sum up this whole lecture, I can say that these three verses that were read by Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way to a successful marriage is actually hidden inside of these three verses. And what is that? Taqwa of Allah Ta'ala. Because that husband who has fear of Allah, that Allah is watching me, how is he going to breach the rights of his wife? And that wife that knows that Allah is watching me, how is she going to breach the rights of her husband? A man will know that, okay, my father-in-law is not here, but Allah is here. My brother-in-law is not here, but Allah is here. The wife will say, my mother-in-law is not here, but Allah is watching me. How can I say such a word? How can I not guard my eye, and guard my ear, and guard my tongue? So if we want to know what is the way of a successful marriage, the foundation of married life and spousal life, indeed, it's based on taqwa, fear of Allah. And we are living, unfortunately, in such a zamana. We're living in such a time that taqwa does not exist. There is no fear. We feel that there is no one that we are answerable to. And you see sometimes in the bumper sticker, right? No fear. See, no fear? Don't wear that shirt. For a Muslim shouldn't wear no fear shirt. Muslim has fear. He fears Allah Ta'ala. He fears Allah Ta'ala. This no fear. What are you saying, no fear? We fear Allah Ta'ala. And we know that He is watching us at all times. And we watch ourselves carefully that we should not do anything that will displease our Lord. So all these verses indicate to the fear of Allah Ta'ala. So the life of a believer, everything of his life, even his marriage, is for the sake of Allah. And if we have not married for Allah's sake, and this also tells us that marriage is not just the something of fulfilling shahwat, and something of rishtidari, and getting together, and having a party, and eating good food, and you know, going to the shadi hall, and doing this, and taking pictures, and mashallah, what did we do? We got married. No, there is a great purpose and a great objective in this marriage. To such an extent that Nabi Kareem in the hadith of Abu Dawud mentions, مَنْ زَوَّجَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى تَوَّجَهُ اللَّهُ تَاجَ الْكَرَامَةِ. The one who marries for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of his nafs, not for the sake of his family, not for the sake of his whatever, ishtidari. He marries. Why? For the sake of Allah, that I want to marry for Allah's sake in order to fulfill the huquq, in order to please Rasulullah ﷺ. Because Nabi Kareem ﷺ said, تَزَوَّجُوا وَتَنَاصَلُوا وَتَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودَ فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَّمُ. Marry, because I will be proud of you on the Day of Judgment that I will see my ummah in large numbers. Marry and procreate and have many children, because on the Day of Judgment I will take pride and I will take fakhr and I'll make shukr to Allah that look at my ummah. From this we understand that marriage has other aspects, not just the simple aspect of khushi manano, manao, or you know, just be happy and go to a party and go to the shadi hall and take a couple of pictures and that's it. And then after that, everything down. No haq, no rights, no responsibilities, no nothing, no. So if we have not made that intention at the day of our marriage, we should now make intention. It's never too late to make intention. Man zawwaja lillahi. Look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What an advice he's giving us. He who marries for the sake of Allah, tawajahu Allahu. Allah gives him the taj. Allah crowns him with the crown of honor on the day of judgment. And the one who is given honor on the day of judgment, he will not be given honor in this life. Allah will honor you. Allah will honor you with a good life. Allah will honor you with an honorable life, a life of karamat. And Allah will honor you with honorable children. First and foremost, haq that the wife has over us is nafaqa sukna. That her nafaqa should be given. That there's a certain amount of allowance, monthly, weekly, that it should be decided between zawjain. That this is the haq of my wife, she deserves a certain amount of allowance, maybe even if it's $100 a week, $200 a week. But there is a set amount of allowance that she has haq over the husband, fulfillment of all of her needs and necessities. Kapra roti makan, we say. This is the necessity. There are some people that they don't even want to do that, and they don't even give any attention to it. And they take advantage of the jahalat, and they take advantage of the ignorance of their wife who does not ask them. Bichari, she doesn't know, so she's staying silent. No, you must give her. Why? Hazrat Tanvir Rahmatullah mentions that maybe she wants to invite her relative, she wants to invite her sister, she wants to invite her brother, and she wants to buy something from her own money to give them dawat and invite them to the house. Maybe she will feel shy to ask you at that time. So she should have some money, though she can do whatever she wants with her money as she feels like it. I think in this country we don't have much of a problem with that. With that, I don't think we have much of an issue. But for us to understand, kapra roti makan is a very important issue. On top of these things, that it is necessary for a man to have to support his wife in financially, it's also very much necessary that you must live with her, as Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. In the home, let it be a wholesome environment in the house. Overlooking faults, pardoning, have a relationship of understanding. Have a relationship that, how would you feel? Nabi Kareem ﷺ has taught us a very important thing of character, and he said that لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبُّ لِأَخِي مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. None of you has faith until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Similarly should be the case that when you are living with your wife or with your husband, love for your wife what you would love for yourself. If you don't want to be talked that way, why are you talking to your wife in that manner? How many times did I tell you do this? How many times did I tell you like that? And bas gali and galoch and all these type of things.
the towels are not clean, and this is not clean, and that is not clean. I'm going in the bathroom and I see hairs everywhere. And what's the matter with you? She's not your nokri. She's not your, like, you know, your servant and your slave and your maid. So ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that treat them with ma'roof. What is ma'roof? That you should treat her the same way you would want to be treated. How would you want to be spoken to? And just understand these simple matters. And I think a lot of the youth should understand this. Because a lot of the youth are getting married. They don't know how to act. The youth, they don't know how to act. They don't know how to be. And we have a lot of issues. The youth, 23 years old, 24 years old, 25 years old. We have marriage counseling. These young, 24, 25, he said, I want to divorce my wife. I said, what? He talked to the wife. He said, this talks to me like as if, you know, I'm not even like his wife. I'm like his, like, slave or something. So we have to understand that. Treat somebody the way you would want to be treated. It's very simple. So overlooking faults. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala mentions, Ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Allah's nasiya and Allah's wasiya to men for his slave women, for his bandiya. And another thing Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Three qualities Allah mentions. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ, that swallow your anger. Harbat, over everything, fighting. Why did you do like this? And why did you do like that? And you didn't cook properly. You didn't put too much salt in the food. And what's wrong with you? You're stupid. You're good for nothing. And talking like that with the wife. SubhanAllah. My Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Shah Ki Muhammad Akhtasab, before I was going to get married, I said, Hazrat, kuch nasihat de dijiye. I'm going to get married. So you know what he said? Wallahi, till this day, I'll never forget his. He said, treat your wife the same way you would want your son-in-law to treat your daughter. Treat your wife the same way you would want your brother-in-law to treat your sister. You have a sister, and your sister is with in the marriage of somebody else. How would you want your brother-in-law to treat her? Beat her up every day? Gali gulosh every day? Cussing her out every day? Making her do this and making her do that? Working her? Making her slave over a hot stove? I mean, the hukuk should be understood. She should understand there's hukuk, there's give and take. In a marriage, there's give and take. But treat them the way that you would want your daughter to be treated. Is this how you would want your daughter to be treated? Wallahi, that was the day and that was the last day. I don't need any more advice. For that person who has ghairat, بغيرت كليه تو كتش, what are you going to do for a بغيرت person? The person who has no shame and the person who has no honor, what is he going to do? He doesn't care how his sister is treated. He doesn't care how his daughter would be treated. So for بغيرت, there's no nasiyat. Allah Ta'ala guide him. But for a person who has the smallest amount of ghairat in his heart, you should treat your wife the same way that you would want your daughter to be treated by your son-in-law. And the same way that you would want your sister to be treated by the brother-in-law. So, والكاظمين الغيظ. Allah Ta'ala mentions three qualities that we should have with our spouses. Swallow your anger. Those that swallow their anger. والعافين عن الناس. And those that pardon. والله يحب المحسنين. And Allah loves those that do kindness. And they mentioned that one story, Imam Zainul Abidin, rahmatullah alayh, who was from the Ahl Bayt. He was the great, I think he was the grandson of Ali radiallahu anhu. And he had one maid in the house, slave girl. So she came with the hot food and she tripped and she fell and all of the hot food went on top of Hazrat Imam Zainul Abidin, rahmatullah alayh. And he said, he was about to say something. And he says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ. And as soon as he heard that, Allah ka kalam, this is Allah's speech. And those that swallow their anger, Allah loves them. He says, قَدْ كَذَمْتُ غَيْبِي. Okay, I swallowed my anger. He said, no, but it doesn't end there. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And those that forgive other people, Allah loves them also. He said, okay, قَدْ عَفَوْتُ عَنْكِ. I've forgiven you. But it doesn't end there. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those that do good. He said, okay, I've freed you for the sake of Allah. I freed you, I give you freedom. Brothers in Islam, this was the way that they treated their slave girls. Can we not treat our wives with such respect? Are they worse than a slave? Is that how bad it's become? May Allah guide us. This is what Allah is talking about, the sifat of the believers. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْرِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And also, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf? That's Allah's nasiyat. And now is wasiyat from Nabi Kareem. Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Oh people, take an admonition from me that be good to your wives. Take one admonition from me. Be good to them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If your father comes and makes wasiyat to you, my son, please be good. Your father-in-law comes, my son-in-law, please be good to my daughter. How would you feel? If you have the smallest amount of ghairat and shame in your heart, you'll be ashamed. Imagine Rasulullah SAW is asking us, please be kind to them. You'll not take his wasiyat. You'll not take his admonition. We don't have that much ghairat. So this is the wasiyat and the admonition of the Prophet ﷺ. And we have the admonition of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. So this is one thing. Now on top of that, another very important thing that in our day and age, in the fitna and the fasad, and the bepardagi, and the behayai that we're surrounded by, the shamelessness that we're surrounded by, the nudity that we're surrounded by, we go out in the workplace, there's women maybe at work, we go out to school and in colleges, there's probably women there. And now it is the haqq of the wife that we guard our eyes from her. This is her haqq. That we don't flirt in the marketplace. We guard our eyes because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that halal that Allah has given you, you should make shukr for that. And don't go to the haram. Don't even think about the haram. The halal that Allah gave you, stick to the halal. Why are you going to haram? Why are you looking at someone else's wife? Allah's given you a wife. Halal, pak, clean. Why are you looking at someone else's wife, someone else's daughter, someone else's mother? Would you like someone to look at your wife? Then don't look at someone else's wife. And this hadith is narrated by Tabarani in Awsat. And this is a Hasan hadith. And it mentions, Barru aba'akum taburrakum abna'akum. That be dutiful to your parents and your children will be dutiful to you. What goes around, comes around. Be good to your parents. And when you're good to your parents, then your children will in turn be kama tadinu tudan. As you do, you will be done upon. And also it goes, وَعِفُّ تَعِفَّ نِسَاءُكُمْ. And be chaste and guard yourself, guard your eyes from looking at those na-mahram women. And guard your ears from listening to them unnecessarily. And guard your mind from thinking about them unnecessarily. And your wives will also be chaste. Allah will protect them. When you protect your eyes, Allah will protect your wives. But if you don't protect yourself, Allah will not protect your wives also. They will also slowly, slowly start getting those khiyalat. And if not, then Allah will bring big barakati in your family. All of this musibat that comes, all of these marriage problems that are coming, where are these marriage problems coming out from? Is because nashukri, being ungrateful. And Allah says, la in shakartum la azidannakum. If you make shukr, I will increase you. If you are grateful, I will increase you. Wa la in kafartum. And if you do kufran and ni'mat, and if you are ungrateful, inna azabi la shadeed. He doesn't say I'm going to decrease you. He says my azab is going to come and it's going to be severe. And what is the azab? The azab of this marital problems, the azab of divorce. The husband comes home after looking at so and so and so and so outside, or looking at pornography on the internet, or looking at things that he's not supposed to look at. He comes home and he's turning his face away from his wife. He's saying, you look ugly to me. You don't look attractive to me anymore. And I don't love you anymore, and so on and so forth. And I don't want to be with you because I don't love you anymore. Subhanallah. And all the cause of this is the nahusat of badnazari and the evils of the gaze. So one haqq, an important haqq in this day and age that is being overlooked is guarding. And wallahi, if a man guards his eyes from other women, his wife will become more beautiful in his eyes. If you guard your eyes from all the other women outside and all the other sites and pictures and magazines, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your wife so appreciating and so beloved to you that she will be your hulul een on this earth. Now, this is just some basic, and the rights are many. The rights are many, but for us to sum up all the rights of the wife on the husband, to sum it all up, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he says that khiyarukum, khiyarukum li ahlihi. The best of you is the best, the one who is best to his wife.
وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. And I am the best of all of you to my family. This is sufficient for a person who has any aql, for the person who has any ghairat, any understanding and any shame. The Prophet ﷺ saying that, I am the be good to your wives. And the best of you are the ones who are best of your wife. And the worst of you are the one who are worst to his wife. And I am the best to my wife. Every ummati should want to, every man should want to imitate Rasulullah ﷺ in this. Now, the rights of the husband over the wife. Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah, I'm quoting from Ihya Ulumuddin. He mentions ahammuha amran. He says huquq az-zawja 'ala az-zawjati kathiratun walakin ahammuha amran, that the rights of the rights of the husband over the wife are many, but there's two that are very important. And he says, number one, that she should protect her chastity, her pakdamini, her chastity, and she should protect the wealth of her husband. That's the first one. Protecting her chastity, not going and showing herself in places that she's not supposed to be shown. Not going to those shadi halls in a way that she is showing herself to all the men. At home, she looks all jungly. And then when she goes to the shadi hall, mashallah, for all the other ajnabi men, she makes herself very beautiful. What is this? This is breaching the haq. Not fulfilling the haq of the husband. Who are you showing yourself to? Your husband is here. Why are you showing yourself to all the other husbands? They're not your husband. This is your husband. And you're beautifying yourself. And you're adorning yourself out there. But what are you forgetting in the home? So protecting her chastity and protecting the wealth of the husband and not squandering it. Give me your credit card. Okay, $5,000 right away off the bat. What are you doing? Squandering the wealth. Number two, which is also, he sums it up. Two things are most important. Not demanding more than necessity. And this is the musibat in the households, that the wives demanding more. Well, don't you see so-and-so? They have a Mercedes Benz. What am I going to do with this Volkswagen? What am I going to do with this Pinto that you're driving? What are people going to think about me? Right? What this? If you're going from point A to point B with this car, with this van, why do you need another car? To show off? This is demanding more than her necessity. She does not have haq to do such a thing. To add on top of that, subhanAllah, an ajeeb point, and this is, wallahi, a musibat that I've seen generally, and everyone should listen to this, especially those families from Indo-Pak region. And from the Asian families, not only Indo-Pak, Asian, anybody from that side, is that for the parents to teach the wife to respect the husband. Again, for the parents to teach the wife to respect the husband. And for the parents to teach the husband to respect his wife. Now it's opposite. Tell that good for nothing. Tell her we're going to send her divorce if she doesn't straighten herself out. Allahu Akbar. The parents who are supposed to be hakim, the parents who are supposed to have wisdom, the parents who are supposed to have aql and intelligence, they're becoming the cause of all of these divorces now. We'll show them. They don't know that we're from this place and we're from that place and our rishtadar has more haq over them and they did not give us this in the time of, and $50,000 was our mahar, and talking about all these dunya matters. You don't care about the life of your daughter? You don't care about the life of your son? And you care about all these rishtadar type of garbage, asabiyat, nationalism? See, this is how the Punjabi people are. See, this is how those people are. And this is how this Pathan people are. And then what happens? See, we told you not to get married in that family. They're from so-and-so place. Don't we hear this? We told you that these people are like that. We should have never gotten married in this type of people. What? Why are you butting in? Why are you putting your nose into their matter? This is their life. Leave them alone to live their life the way they want to live it. Why are you meddling in their affairs? Shaitan does not love anything more than he loves separation of husband and wife. This is the thing that he loves most. It mentioned that when all the shayateen were coming and they were giving their karguzari to their Hazrat Iblis Sahab, right? Lanatullahi alayhi.
So they came and they're giving their karguzari and they're telling him, what did you do? He said, I made somebody kill. It's not so great. What did you do? He said, I made somebody steal. I heard it before, been there, done that. What about you? He said, you know, I made another person, you know, get in a fight. Said, nothing great. He said, what did you do? He said, I separated between a husband and a wife. He said, oh, you are the one. And then he comes and he embraces him. And in one riwayat it says, يُتَوِّجُهُ. He puts a taj. He puts a crown on his head. Now the mother and father, the father-in-law and mother-in-law, they're becoming the khalifa of shaitan. They're not the khalifa of Allah and Rasul. They're becoming khalifa of shaitan. And they're causing this. Don't tell him like that. He can't tell you whatever he wants. And tell him like that and tell her like that. And we'll show the family and we'll send her talaq there in the mail. We'll take them to court and we'll get that $50,000 mahar and we'll show them. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. Wallahi, this is sad. Wallahi, it makes me cry. I am involved in this marriage counseling. I see this 70% of the time. 70%. 3/4. Right? That situations that come to us, what is it based on? It's based on family meddling in the relationship of the husband and wife. Husband and wife love each other. Husband and wife, no problems. The families want to butt heads. May Allah save us. So for the family to teach the daughter to respect the husband and to teach their son to respect their daughter, this is a sunnah. And I wanted to mention a beautiful wasiyat of Asma bint Kharija al-Fazari, rahmatullah alayh. She says, when her daughter was getting married, on the night of her marriage, listen to this wasiyat. She's saying this to her daughter, how she must be with her husband. She says, إِنَّكِ خَرَجْتِ مِنَ الْعِشِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ دَرَجْتِ فَصِرْتِ إِلَى فِرَاشٍ لَمْ تَعْلِفِيهِ وَقَرِينٌ لَمْ تَعْلِفِيهِ. That, oh my daughter, you are coming out of your nest that you grew up in. And you are going to that house to a person that you don't know and to a companion that you don't recognize as of yet. فَكُونِي لَهُ أَرْضًا يَكُونُ لَكِ سَمَاءً. So be the earth for him and he will be the sky for you. Be the earth for him and he will be the sky for you. You give a little and he will give back. You be humble for him and he will be on a cover and a shelter. أَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ وَهُنَّ أَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ وَهُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ. أو كما قال الله تعالى, that they are a libas for you and you are a libas for them. You become the earth for him and he will become the sky for you. وَكُونِي لَهُ مِهَادًا يَكُنْ لَكَ عِمَادًا. And you be like spread for him and he will be a pillar for you. وَكُونِي لَهُ أَمَةً يَكُونُ لَكَ عَبْدًا. And you be like a servant to him and he will be a servant to you. You be like a servant to him and he will appreciate that. Who? A person who has ghairat. There is no ba ghairat, shameful individual, that when his wife is serving him, he will not serve and respect his wife. Respect is something which is attained. That when someone shows you respect, automatically you're going to show them respect. So this is what she's saying. كُونِ لَهُ أَمَةً يَكُونُ لَكَ عَبْدًا. That be for him a servant and he will be for you a servant. وَلَا تَلْحَفِي بِهِ فَيَقْلَاكِ. And don't cover him all the time. Don't ride him and cover him all the time. Otherwise he'll get tired of you. He'll become pereshan. He'll say, get away from me. Why are you? Every minute, bus. She's every minute, she's saying, why are you going? Why are you going to the masjid? Why are you going here? Why are you going there? Why are you going outside? Why are you talking to him? Why are you doing this? Why are you reading Quran? Why? Don't become like lihaf and cover him. Otherwise, he'll get tired of you. You make him pereshan. وَلَا تَبَاعَدِي عَنْهُ فَيَنْسَاكِ. And don't stay away from him all the time. Otherwise, he will forget you. إِنْ دَنَا مِنْكِ فَقَرِّبِي مِنْهُ. If he comes close to you, then you come close to him. وَإِنْ نَأَى مِنْكِ فَأَبْعَدِي عَنْهُ. And if he goes away from you, then you stay also away from him. Give him his space. And this goes for husband and wife. If she doesn't want, then don't go and bother. Maybe she's, you know, hurting. Maybe she's in an emotional state. Try to understand them, that they have emotional states. وَإِنَّا مِنْكِ فَبَعَدِ عَنْهُ. If he wants to stay away from you, then give him his room, give him his space. وَاحْفَظِي أَنْفَهُ وَسَمْعَهُ وَعَيْنَهُ. And protect his eyes and his ears and his nose. How do you do that? فَلَا يَشُمَّنَّ مِنْكِ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Let him not smell you except when you are smelling good. وَلَا يَسْمَعُ إِلَّا حَسَنًا. And let him not hear from you except that which is good. وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. And he should not see from you except when you are in a beautiful state. Don't come in front of him smelling like all these different types of things. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we would come back from Safar, he would first come to the house. If he would first come to the masjid, I'm sorry. It's a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he would come from a Safar, from a journey, he would first come to the house so the women of the house can prepare themselves. That if the house is not prepared, if the house is not clean, if they are not clean, they could prepare. So this was some of the rights of the husband over the wife. And the way of success in totality is create an environment in the home. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this in Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah says to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, to the wives of the prophets, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That, O wives of the Prophet, remind yourselves and make muzakarah of what? Of Quran and the Sunnah inside of your homes. Imagine, this is the advice that Allah Ta'ala gave to the wives of the Prophet in the home of the Prophet. Does the wives of the Prophet need to be advised? Whose house can be better than the house of the Prophet? The environment of whose home can be better than the environment of the house of the Prophet? No house can be better than the house of the Prophet. No environment can be better than the environment of the Prophet. But in spite of that, Allah is telling the wives of the Prophet, وَذْكُرْنَا. Make muzakara. Remind yourself. مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Remind yourself, make muzakara of the verses of the Quran in your homes. And make muzakara and ta'aleem of the ahadith and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in your homes. Why? Because this creates an environment in the home. Imagine if Allah Ta'ala is giving this commandment to the house of the Prophet, how much is our house more deserving of this? How much is our homes deserving that we should read the ayat of the book of Allah and remind ourselves of the verses of Allah and remind ourselves of the sunnah of Rasulullah and the ahadith of Rasulullah? Creating an environment. And I wanted to read, subhanAllah, a beautiful hadith. Beautiful hadith. How can we bring rahmat in the house? Today there's lanat coming inside the house through the nuhusat of television and Facebook. On CNN there was a report. 30% of the divorces out there, not in the Muslim community, in the non-Muslim community, 30% of divorces is coming out because of Facebook. Relationship on Facebook. The nuhusat of these things that have entered our homes. The nuhusat of the television that has entered our homes. And in the month of Ramadan, this nuhusat is going to come even more. There are serials and shows and programs that come in the month of Ramadan that don't come in any other months. Shows and programs, television programs that come in the month of Ramadan that don't come in any other month. This is that nuhusat and lanat that is destroying our homes. Allah Ta'ala has told us, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah is saying, make muzakara of Quran and Hadith. And what is making muzakara of us? Shaitan and zina and all that. Husband, wife, daughter, son, everyone sitting and watching zina on the television. Sometimes they change the channel. Oh, they're kissing now. Okay, let's change the channel. Husband sitting and watching Indian movies with his wife. There's a woman dancing in front of him. How is he going to appreciate his wife? They're watching zina on the television. Rahmat and barakat is going to come in that house, or lanat is going to come in that house. This is the way. Now I'm going to read to you the prophetic way of bringing rahmat in our homes. The prophetic way. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Rahimallahu rajula. Allah has mercy on that man. Qama min al-layl, who stands up in the night. And this is talking about tahajjud prayers. And this is fi fada'il al-qiyam al-layl. Rahimallahu rajulan. Allah has mercy on that household, and Allah has mercy on that man who does what? قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَصَلَّى وَأَيْقَذَ إِمْرَأَتَهُ.
He prays, and at the same time, he wakes up his wife. Who is doing this? We're not even doing this for Fajr Salat. How are we going to do it for Tahajjud Salat?
He wakes up his wife, فَصَلَّتْ, and she also prays. Allah has mercy on her also. فَإِنْ أَبَتْ, if she refuses, with love, he takes a little bit of water and sprinkles in her face. فَإِنْ أَبَتْ نَضَحَ فِي وَجِهَا الْمَاءِ.
And remember, نَضَحَ means sprinkle. It doesn't mean he takes a bucket of water. No, no, no. Mawlana Sahib said that you should put some water on your face. I love you. Now he takes 1 gallon of water, you know, a little bit of crystal geyser, just like you take a little bit out of your face. It's bring some rahmat in the house. No, now some divorce is going to happen, and then they're going to blame this Mawlana Sahib as saying, put water in the face of your wife.
Nabaha,
very lightly, in whatever way that might make her wake up.
فَإِنْ أَبَتْ نَضَحَ فِي وَجِهَا الْمَاءِ.
Yani he persists.
رَحِمَ اللَّهُمْ رَأَةً.
And Allah has mercy on that wife. And Allah has mercy on that woman.
قَامَتْ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَصَلَّتْ.
She stands up in the night and she prays.
وَأَيْقَذَتْ زَوْجَهَا.
And she wakes up her husband.
فَإِنْ أَبَى نَضَحَتْ فِي وَجِهِ الْمَاءِ.
And if she refuses, if he refuses, then she sprinkles a little bit of water on his face.
SubhanAllah,
look at this, brothers and sisters. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us what is the way to bring rahmat inside of the house is with salat.
Imagine if this rahmat is coming for Salatul Tahajjud. Imagine when we pray Salatul Jamaat in the house, maybe we are far away from the masjid. And we miss Salat Jamaat in the masjid. We gather our family together. And we pray salat with jamaat. We gather our family together and we make ta'aleem. We gather the family together. Imagine how much rahmat will come when you establish a fard. This is the rahmat that will descend when you establish one nafil. Tahajjud salat is not fard. Imagine when you establish the fara'id. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran,
وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا.
That command your family to pray the salat and establish the salat in the homes.
وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا.
لا نسألك رزقا.
What is the ayat?
نحن نرزقك
والعاقبة للتقوى.
Hasan Basri rahmatullahi, when he would read this ayat, he says, we are not asking you of any risk. We are the ones that give you risk.
والعاقبة للتقوى.
And the end result is for the people that have taqwa.
Risk is direct correlation of praying salat, establishing it in our homes, and establishing it in our lives and in our families. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this understanding to fulfill our huquq, to fulfill the rights of our families, to fulfill the rights of... May Allah give the husband the responsibility to fulfill the right of his wife. And may Allah ta'ala give the wives the tawfiq to fulfill the responsibility of their husbands. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.